straight to my heart, Evan Bevins. They call him Howard the Duck. Can you believe it? There's no way to conceal it.
There really isn't.
You are listening to Source Material Live. I am your silly co-host, Mr. Mark Rattledge, the mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified. And we're doing a special extra Source Material Live this week, trying to get in some books that I've just wanted to talk about just for the hell of it. There never seems to be a good time to do these, so why not do them anytime, right? Right. So
there you go.
So I've had what we're going to talk about tonight, Deadpool the Duck, on my reading list for a few years now, since I got back into reading comics. And Evan Bevins, how you doing, Evan Bevins?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Evan Bevins is a Howard the Duck enthusiast and a Dr. Bong expert, as we'll find out tomorrow on the Superblog team-up. And we got to talking about Deadpool the Duck, and we said, you know what? We should read the book, and we should talk about it together. And so here we are. Here we are, Evan.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Thank you, Hannibal. So that intro was actually from the Howard the Duck movie. It was performed by Dolby's Cube featuring Cherry Bomb, with Leah Thompson, who's in the movie, on the vocals, with background vocals from George Clinton and guitar by Joe Walsh. Love that song. Did you love hearing it?
I did.
Do you remember the movie, Howard the Duck? Well, how long has it been since you've seen it?
I do. How long has it been? Let's see. It's been about 6 years since I last watched it. When my youngest was born, she slept, but I was afraid to put her down, so I just sat there and afraid she would wake up, so I just sat there and watched some Howard the Duck.
That's half of being a dad right there, just kind of, you know, chilling out with your child, watching a movie that they can't possibly understand.
Yeah, she also sat through all but one episode of the first season of Daredevil with me, so I hope that doesn't come back to bite me later.
She's going to walk in one house, and she's gonna, like, you're going to be walking into her room one day. She's just going to be in a corner going, muttering, just, penny for a dime, man, penny for a dime. You're like, oh, Christ.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't think she remembers much of it, but that was before I had to actually start paying attention to what was on in the room.
Yeah, those first 2 or 3 years where you have a child, it's really easy to kind of just watch whatever, because they don't care. They're not even cognizant through part of it, and the other half, they just don't care. It's, you know, 4, 5, 6, that's when they start to notice things.
Yeah, when the oldest was, like, staring in horror during a shootout in the A-Team movie, to bring it back to my earlier comment, that's when I was like, oh, I'm going to have to be careful now.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just going to turn this off. Wiggles it is.
Disney Junior Ho. I watched a lot of Sophia the First with my kids. All right, so Deadpool, right? Deadpool and Howard the Duck. Let's take each one of these in turn. So tell me about Deadpool. How much of his comics have you read? Do you have a particular favorite writer, a particular story arc? Tell me about your familiarity with Deadpool.
Let's see. Well, I learned that Deadpool was an amazing, all-important comic figure from all the trading cards Marvel got me to buy as a youngster. And I had just read about him here and there. Let's see. Favorite writer. Deadpool's kind of a hard sell to me sometimes, because I like the fourth wall breaking. I like the goofiness. Sometimes people tend to, you know, lean toward the over the top violence with him, which usually doesn't do it for me. I'd say Jerry Duggan's the one who I read the most of. A good chunk of Joe Kelly's run, because I always liked Joe Kelly in general, and he's the guy who made Deadpool, who I give credit for making Deadpool who he is today, the more goofy character. And when everybody says you can't do Deadpool unless it's hard R, I say, well, the comics that, you know, launched him were PG-13, so you can. You don't have to, but you can. So that's probably my favorite iteration of Deadpool is Jerry Duggan's. I read a lot of that, and then Joe Kelly, I give him credit for really moving him over from, you know, sensational ex-villain curiosity to, you know, mainstream character.
Now, what everyone really wants to hear you talk about is your lifelong obsession with Howard the Duck.
Sadly, it's not been lifelong. it was just a weird, hey, in the midst of all these Marvel characters I know and love, there's a talking duck. And I'm trying to think what the first Howard the Duck comic I read. It might have been when he showed up in Generation X, helping Skin and Sink hitchhike. That might actually be the first one, but eventually, once I got turned on to the Marvel Essential Volumes, which are the big, thick, phone book-sized black and white reprints, I got the Howard the Duck, Essential Howard the Duck, which collected Steve Gerber's entire run, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much better than I ever imagined. Probably the only thing I drone on more about when the subject of comic books comes up than Squirrel Girl, or perhaps second after Squirrel Girl, is, hey, you guys know Howard the Duck is so much more than that movie. it's just hilarious, and we'll talk about it more here, but Stuart Moore that wrote this, I thought he did a good job of kind of channeling some of what Steve Gerber did that made Howard so unique. I think I mentioned it. We got off on a lot of tangents. We were talking about Umbrella Academy, and I think I mentioned it there. I've heard some people say that Howard's one of those characters that, like, only a certain writer can do, and they say, you know, he's not really Howard without Steve Gerber. There have been some people who have made some good good attempts at it, but that Essential Howard the Duck Volume 1, which now I think has been reprinted in color and omnibuses and stuff, I mean, those are just some special comics.
So, a quick word on Deadpool for me. I was never really a big Deadpool guy. Deadpool's sort of after my time of reading comics, and I know he was hip with the kids, and I know people were upset with the way he was treated in Wolverine's Origin, Origins Wolverine, however the title of the movie goes. People were pissed. And I kind of didn't care, because movies are movies and comic books are comic books, and the Deadpool character doesn't mean anything to me. Yeah, I think when we defended it on Trial, I made a point of saying, if you don't know anything about the Deadpool character, what they do to that guy in that movie makes some degree of sense. But I get it. He's a fan favorite, and people didn't like the way he was treated. But like I said, I never read really any of his comics. I'm interested in the Brian Posehn Deadpool, just because I'm interested in Brian Posehn as a comedian.
And he co-wrote with Jerry Duggan. So.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
So someday I'll get around to reading those, but I don't have too much familiarity with him. We've done some Deadpool stuff on Source Material because of the movies and whatnot, but for the most part, he doesn't really interest me. Now, Howard the Duck, I grew up with. I read some of the comics as a kid, and when I got back into reading comics in the past 5-6 years, I was picking up a new iteration of She-Hulk, and mm-hmm. Howard the Duck was a prominent character in that as a private detective that she was using, and they were getting into adventures together. And, you know, Howard the Duck has showed up, you know, in here and there in different comics, and I've always enjoyed him as a character. But my earliest memory of Howard the Duck is the movie. You know, I grew up with that movie, you know, duck boobs and everything else, Leah Thompson, Cleveland. Cleveland. I'm in Cleveland. And I have a distinctive memories as a kid of being horrified by those monsters coming through the space bridge at the very end of the movie. You remember?
Actually, the first time I watched it, I couldn't make it through, but it was actually where they were going to cook him in the diner that freaked me out as a kid. that was my point of no return. So it wasn't until a few years later that I made it all the way through.
So that brings us to the comic we're going to talk about today. Deadpool the Duck. The first issue comes out in 2017, and March of 2017 to be exact. And it's written by Stuart Moore. It's illustrated by Jacopo Campini. Colored by Israel Silva. Letters, VCs, Joe Sabino. And they were, you know, as Marvel was doing around this time, and, you know, for a long time now, it has a bunch of alternative covers, one of which is by Chip Zdarsky, who you've mentioned a bunch of times.
Nice. Yeah, Chip Zdarsky wrote the most recent Howard the Duck ongoing. actually the two most recent Howard the Duck ongoings, because it stopped after five issues for Secret War, and then restarted again a few months later. And that one finished up in the fall of 2016. So not to get too far ahead, but when you see Howard kind of wandering aimlessly, that was after the conclusion of that, and a big meta breakdown storyline that also included a approved guest appearance by Leah Thompson as herself.
Yeah, I actually think I read that iteration of him, because I read one of the recent, and it was probably Chip Zdarsky now that I'm thinking about it, I read the series with him. I actually do remember him kind of walking into the woods to live deliberately, you know, just kind of sick of everything. And maybe I had it reversed where She-Hulk guested in that one and not the other way around. I don't really remember anymore. But I really like that run. So that brings us to Deadpool the Duck. This is issue number one. And the synopsis goes, what do you get when you take one cynical anthropomorphic duck named Howard and cross it with the smelliest and most annoying mercenary in the Marvel Universe, Deadpool the Duck? When Deadpool is sent on a mission from S.H.I.E.L.D. to capture a high-profile E.T. that is rampaging across the High Plains, the snatch and grab turns out to be much more complicated than the merc with a mouth anticipated. One fortunate wrong place at the wrong time accident later leaves Deadpool and Howard fighting for control of the cutest mercenary in the Marvel Universe has ever seen. I need a Funko Pop of this, by the way. If anyone wants to know what to get me for Christmas, I want a Funko Pop of Deadpool the Duck.
I gotta assume it's out there.
Oh, it is. Brought to you by Stuart Moore, who's worked on Cloak and Dagger, Thanos Death Sentence, and Jacobo Campany, who worked on Deadpool Secret Wars. All right, so getting into it, you know, we see him with Mary the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and of course, you know, right off the bat, I much prefer the Howard the Duck part of this than I do the Deadpool, which is probably heresy to a lot of people, but let me explain.
I'm with you.
Deadpool can be a little, like, can we get on with this already? You know, it's like, there's so much shtick. There's so much, you know, it's like, if Robin Williams was an assassin, it would be Deadpool. So, there's so much of him in the beginning, like, she's talking to him in a private safe house so that they can discuss this mission, and he's like, I'm going to make a pool and a jacuzzi, and I'm going to blow out this wall. It's like, oh my God, get on with this already.
Yeah, I can. I get where you're coming from. Although I gotta say, I enjoyed Ghost Wolverine as his inner voice rather than just another Deadpool.
Yeah, I
like laid back Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine as his spirit animal was actually cracked me up. Unfortunately, it's a joke that gets beaten to death over five issues. But you know, when you first see it, it's actually really amusing.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, it's to set up, you know, the idea of Howard as his actual spirit animal. So, you know, maybe a little forced at times, but I laughed.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so after we get past 100 pages of Deadpool and Mary the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent doing shtick,
whose last name we don't know.
No, it's just Mary the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, the S.H.I.E.L.D. secretary or whatever she was. we flash over to Howard, and Howard is driving along some country roads. He's in a small town. He's got his car, and he's like, I have had it with life. Just, I need to not be where the people are. And that's when he runs afoul of Rocket Raccoon, whose spaceship crashes onto his car. And he's like, what the hell, man? And Rocket's like, I barely escaped. They put something inside of me. And Howard's like, but what, sir? What did they put inside of you? How can I help you? And he says, raw space rabies.
the first issue was a little rough for me. I'm going to say it took me a little while to get into this because it seemed like there were so many forced things and coincidences, and yeah, I was like, oh sure, he's out in the middle of nowhere and Rocket just happens to fall out of space.
Mm-hmm.
Which as we learned, that may not quite be the case.
So Howard's just sort of reacting to that, and then Deadpool shows up, because of course he does, because Deadpool was sent there to deal with Rocket.
Also, his name's on the cover.
Yes sir. So Deadpool and Rocket get into a shootout, because of course they do, and he's trying, you know, and then Deadpool having no, you know, Howard the Duck and Rocket are friends, but Deadpool has no association with Rocket, no reason to save him. So he's still obsessing over his new warehouse apartment, and he's like, I'm going to turn you into a throw rug. Okay. And Howard's like, don't turn my friend into a throw rug. No. And they're shooting and they're shooting and they're fighting. And, you know, this is where he says space rabies. And then shortly thereafter, as the three of them are bunched up together, Rocket bites into Deadpool's transporter machine that he wears on his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, causes a chain reaction. And now Deadpool and Howard the Duck are fused into one being, Deadpool the Duck, which is basically Howard's body with Deadpool's mind. But Howard communicates with him telepathically as a disembodied, like, ghost voice. And he keeps referring to him now as Spirit Animal. And then we get this gag, which I'm going to allow it because it pays off later. Instead
the
of
literal
being
gag.
Gross. Literal gag. Yeah. There's something about chili dogs, and Deadpool the Duck proceeds to vomit precipitously. Just all over the place.
Is it wrong that I was looking at this and I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense because he's got a smaller body, so he probably couldn't. I was explaining this scientifically in my head.
Yeah, no. I mean, and that's what they said in the comic. He was like, you know, unfortunately, all of the food that Deadpool had consumed was now in Howard's body, and there was nothing to do for it because he has a much smaller stomach. So it was like it was gross, but it made sense.
Okay. I was a little grossed out, but it made sense. The fact that the vomiting continued significantly into the second issue, that caught me off guard. But,
we're still not done with this gag.
Yeah. I mostly enjoyed the first issue. Like I said, it took me a little while to get into it because it felt like there was a lot of stuff that was random and being forced together. Later, a lot of that paid off, and we found out it wasn't quite as haphazard. I liked the way, you know, we had kind of Howard brooding and, you know, even wondering about his mental health, which all draws on stuff from the old Gerber stories. So I like that. I laughed some at Deadpool. I said, okay, some with Deadpool, but I was ready to go for the next issue.
Yeah, I like the setup. I like you have a mystery and you have a very simple mystery. How did Rocket get space rabies? Okay, well, we need to find that out why, and then we need to cure him. Okay, great. And then how did we get to Deadpool the Duck, which is a funny idea. It's like people sitting around a table like, what can we do to sell books? What if we combine some characters? Okay, how about Deadpool and Howard the Duck? Ha, that's funny. How would we do that? And it's like a very simple, there's a space machine, you know, and Rocket bites it, and it explodes, and it causes it, and it's like, okay, I don't need to get much more complicated than that. So we're off to a good start here. Issue number two. It opens with poor Deadpool the Duck still puking, and there's a lot of exchanges now between, here's my biggest criticism of this whole thing, because it runs through all five issues. They don't just do a gag, it's funny, and leave it alone. It becomes a theme for the entire book. So, you know, Wolverine as his spirit animal was funny the first time they did it. And then through the rest of this, he's going to whine and complain that Howard taking Wolverine's place as a spirit animal is something he doesn't like. And Howard's mean to him, and he doesn't like it, and he doesn't want it. And this goes on forever for multiple issues. And it's like, all right, we get it, dude. Like, there's a lot of beating of dead horses in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. One of the things that jumped out at me right at the beginning is Howard announces that he thinks he's in the web negative zone.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me wonder what was going on, because I was like, well, wait a minute, if they merged, why is he in the negative zone? Because that's the old Rick Jones Captain Marvel shtick, which made me wonder, even when I went back and read it again, I actually made notes. Is there something I'm missing about Marvel Science? Probably. So I didn't really understand why he was in the negative zone. Although even that might get a little clearer later. But at the same time, I was like, oh hey, cool. They're referring back to Rick Jones and Captain Marvel.
So the beginning of this is they're still kind of okay. Just playing around with this idea of, you know, this has now become all of me with Lily Tomlin and, oh, what's his face from Father of the Bride?
Comedian. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah. Have you ever seen All of Me?
No.
Oh, it's great. You should watch it one day. It might actually be rated PG. You might be able to watch it with your kids in the room. It's a very silly movie where Lily Tomlin is a sort of shrew of a woman. And she dies, but her soul ends up taking the body of Steve Martin. And so Steve Martin's still there, but much like Deadpool and Howard the Duck, he's communicating with her telepathically, and occasionally she takes over his body, and hilarity ensues. And so this is I've referenced this a bunch because it's the one thing from All of Me that I remember besides the song, and that is Steve Martin having to go into the bathroom, and Lily Tomlin goes, and Lily Tomlin through Steve Martin's mouth goes, "I can't go in there. That's the men's room." So there's a lot of Lily Tomlin and Steve Martin happening with Deadpool and Howard the Duck here in the beginning, as we establish what's going on.
Yes, and a lot more vomiting. I'm seeing 5 or 6 pages worth.
Come here, horsey. It takes a while, but they eventually figure out that they have to go into space to figure out how he got space rabies. And they
makes
go to
sense. Space
yeah.
rabies.
Yeah, and they go to a Roxxon satellite orbiting the Earth, and they get aboard. They're walking around. They run into a janitor with a German accent. It's like, you're not supposed to be here. And there's some, again, it's a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of shtick. It's a lot of comedy. Like, I almost think this would have worked better as sort of an animated thing than it does as a comic book.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Then they run into Basalt, who's running the space station. And there's more talking and arguing. And finally, Deadpool punches her. She hits him back. He goes crashing into a wall. He shoots her, and this is really funny, actually. He's like, "I know you love a good sword fight, but don't we have a gun?" And Deadpool's like, "Oh yeah," and he shoots her. Now, but they've already set the satellite to explode the space station, so they got to get off the thing. And there's an argument that ensues over whether or not they should save the janitor. Of course, Howard has a conscience and Deadpool doesn't, and therein lies the conflict. This leads to something that's going to occur over the course of the comic book also, is Deadpool and Howard fighting over control of the body. And that's where this issue ends. What did you think of issue number 2?
I enjoyed it for the most part. Let me see. I just have my notes on there. You know, Roxxon has kind of become, if something goes wrong in Marvel and it's not Hydra, then it's Roxxon. Mm-hmm. I said earlier, I didn't care for wanton over the top violence. So I like the conflict between Howard and Deadpool there. I laughed at a lot of the lines, especially the janitor blaming Roxxon for all kinds of horrible, unspeakable things like girls named Thor, which Roxxon actually did play a part in that storyline pretty prominently. But
did Roxxon give Natalie Portman cancer?
No.
Okay.
No, that's just that was like the main antagonist was Roxxon because their CEO was a Minotaur, you know.
Marvel.
Working with Malekith, the villain no one remembers from Thor: The Dark World.
Okay,
but yeah. So I mean, yeah, it was. I mean, the comedy of, you know, Howard and Deadpool fighting over the body. You know, the accent humor, which I think even Deadpool says, "Oh, really? Accent humor? That's where we're going." that was pretty amusing. But it still hadn't. This was more of a, well, I've got access to all of it, because I actually read this a couple weeks before we set a date to do this. I said, hey, I finally read this, and so it was more like, well, I've started this, I'm going to finish it. I wasn't, you know, hooked to the end, but I was having fun, but I was just kind of like, okay, let's see where this is going.
Alrighty, so issue number 3, and now I'll read the summary here, kind of summarizing what's happened up to this point, because again, issue number 1 is good setup, issue number 2, not a lot happens. So, after noticing an extraterrestrial fast approaching Earth, S.H.I.E.L.D. sends Deadpool to investigate. Meanwhile, Howard the Duck is drifting on the road, going nowhere in particular, when his bad luck hits him, literally. Rocket Raccoon falls right from space into his car, totaling it. Even worse, Rocket's been infected with a mysterious disease called space rabies, causing him to attack Howard. Deadpool arrives just in time to battle Rocket head-on, but when Rocket bites Deadpool's teleporter, it causes Deadpool and Howard to merge into one being, Deadpool the Duck. Now, the mallard with a mouth is on a mission to get his life and body back. The not-so-dynamic duo grabs the unconscious Rocket Raccoon and heads back to the mysterious Roxxon space station, only to find that it was merely minutes from self-destruction. After a quick firefight with the Roxxon security agent Basalt, Deadpool, Howard, and Rocket are back to searching any Roxxon location they can find for answers. Ah, so the mystery deepens.
1 second.
Yes. All right, so it opens up. They're somewhere back in America, and we begin with some soldiers monitoring the perimeter, and then there's an explosion. And the guy says, follow protocol, boys. No questions. Just scrag and tag. Scrag and tag? Is that a thing? And there's Deadpool the Duck, sword out and guns a-blazing. Oh, it's a thing! And here, just as you requested, Evan, is your wanton violence.
There you go. But, I don't know that he actually killed anybody, at least.
He does a fair job of messing these guys up.
Yeah.
They open fire.
I don't understand what happens next in this issue. I'm going to be honest. I was really confused here.
Well, yeah, the last thing we saw, and that was the thing that got to me, was like at the last thing we saw was they were still on the space station, and then we open up and like they never, they'll explain it later, but in the beginning of issue number 3, they don't really explain anything. He's just in the middle of a firefight.
Yeah. So they wanted to get you that action. Mark,
yeah.
They knew you didn't appreciate the dialogue last time, so they wanted to get you some fighting.
Yep. So he goes through a hole in the wall, and there's a classroom, and there's this great line from this teacher. It's simple, but it's just kind of her looking at him. She's doing science on the board, and he's like, yes. this isn't a Roxxon lab. It's a preschool. And so she, you know, there's a dialogue exchange there. She explains some things to him, and he's like, all right, well, this is a dead end.
I did not understand. I'm like, are they making a joke about, you know, school shootings and security, or it's just a haha, these aren't the droids you're looking for? Or it was funny when he burst in, but I like went back a couple times and like, what, but why was there a preschool guarded by Roxxon mercenaries?
Yeah, I mean, this being the Marvel universe and the propensity for any number of nondescript regular places to be blown up or have the walls caved in or something, I would, you know, I kind of just went with that.
Oh, well, yeah. When you put it that way, that doesn't make sense. Okay, I feel better.
So then we shift over to Howard the Duck doing his best impression of the movie Stowaway.
Castaway.
Castaway. He's just out there on a rock talking to other rocks, having an existential crisis.
Which is vintage Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Then they explain how they got away. They saved the janitor because, you know, Howard didn't want him to die. But Howard has sort of given up trying to control Deadpool, so he's just hanging out here trying to figure out, what do I do now that I'm a disembodied voice?
And then not only did they save the janitor, then they accidentally killed the janitor.
That's right, because Deadpool doesn't know how to drive. So then Deadpool reaches back out to S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, hey, you know, I'm trying to save Rocket. I need information. I also need a place. My transporter's broke, so I need transportation. And so Mary, the S.H.I.E.L.D. receptionist hooks him up.
Did you know gasoline is flammable?
That's a line from the book, yes. There are some funny zingers in this, I have to say. I was amused. So we're back to Howard again, and he's talking to a rock that he's done up like Wilson the volleyball. He's like, why am I here? What am I doing? And then we're back to Deadpool again. And Deadpool puts Rocket in a stasis tube.
Labeled rabies.
Yep. And we're, you know, and Howard, finally getting wind of what's going on, is trying to tell Deadpool, you know, put him in the machine, turn it on. Deadpool doesn't want to. And so they're arguing with each other. There's a lot of that going on.
And a Ghost Logan reference.
And then Basalt shows up again. Yeah. Basalt says, it's like this, boys. Roxxon hired me to blow up space stations and kick duck ass, and I'm all out of space stations.
There's only one thing to do now.
Yep. And that is the end of issue 3. So your thoughts and notes, sir?
Well, lot more action, lot more kind of moving forward. I still felt a little aimless here, like I wasn't seeing the whole picture, maybe. And then we come back to, speaking of jokes that you know, you would have thought ran their course, that people still don't remember Mary's last name. And I mean, I'm like, come on, okay, we get it. You know, she's the receptionist. Nobody respects her. We don't know her last name. What's the big deal? Is it Fury or something? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time Nick Fury had a kid he didn't know about. Overall, it was funny. It gave me some, you know, vintage Howard vibes. So I was still enjoying it, but, you know, still kind of on the fence.
Yeah. I'll save my thoughts about the book in total for the end, but these first three issues, it's like the first one, I'm like, okay, the first one's got me. The second, the issues 2 and 3 are like, are we going to do something here, or is it just shtick?
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, if it's shtick, it's shtick, and at least I can kind of prepare myself for that. But I thought they would tell a story. They started off with a mystery, and I thought there would be, you know, finding clues and doing things, and it's less of that and a little bit more shtick and existential crisis, which you say is fit for the character, but it doesn't always make for the most interesting read. But things do pick up with issue number 4, so...
Yes, they do.
We kind of arc up here from the valley. Issue number 4. Now the Mallard with the Mouth is on a mission to get his life. Nah, we already got all that. So, Deadpool is... So, Rocket's in the tube, and Howard says, my first memory couldn't have been more than 3 years old. Grandma picked me up by the pin feathers, plopped me down on her knee, and said, little Drake, you can be anything you want. Even then, I knew it was a lie.
Vintage Howard. He is definitely a glasses 51% empty kind of guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of Howard philosophy in this. There's a lot of Howard being very like nihilistic, which I find amusing.
It wasn't bad. It just it still didn't, and I don't quite know how to describe it. It didn't quite hit, you know, the notes of or feel as natural as the Gerber ones. I mean, it felt like someone, you know, like kind of paying tribute to that. And he did a fine job, but it just doesn't quite hit that early magic. But it shows that he understands the character. You know, he's not just like, oh, hey, this is a duck wearing pants and a hat. He must be wacky. He gets who Howard is supposed to be.
So now we get to a point where Howard's kind of had enough of Deadpool controlling things, and, you know, and Howard's had enough of just kind of sitting and sulking. So he's going to try to take over the body. And he does. He succeeds. He kicks Deadpool out, and now Deadpool's a disembodied ghost. And he says, aw, no way. And just as that happens, in comes Basalt. And she
careful
says,
careful what you wish for.
Go on, Feathers. Make a move. Give me a reason. And he says, Asphalt, you're still alive. And she's had enough of him and his mouth. And you know, Howard has been a private eye, and he certainly had his fair share of scraps, but he's not the merc with a mouth. And so he's like, I don't know what to do here. Like, Wade, Deadpool, come back. And now Deadpool is in the negative zone or wherever the hell he was, and he's talking to Wilson the asteroid, and he's having a therapy session because Deadpool.
Yeah.
He actually says, this is a nice office. Do you charge by the hour?
And you know, Deadpool has had at least one notable therapist that we'll talk about soon. I like what finally sets Howard off, which again is some vintage Howard. The Basalt says, I won't pretend this isn't personal, Beakface, but you've busted into your last Roxxon facility, and what finally sets Howard off is, don't you dare justify your actions in the name of some stinking corporation. And suddenly he unlocks, Deadpool moves.
Yes. He has muscle memory. I like that that's a thing in fiction where a character who isn't normally, like, a fighter will suddenly be able to because of a former life or something, you know, like maybe he has amnesia or something, but so he'll tap into muscle memory and suddenly become a ninja. It's fucking great.
It doesn't work like that?
Sure.
It explains so many fights I've lost quickly.
And so, magically, he's able to take all these people out, and he's fighting with Basalt, and it doesn't actually go well. But then Mary shows up. Go ahead.
Mary shows up. And we finally get the first payoff that we didn't know we were looking for.
Yep. It turns out Basalt is Mary's mother, and we get a lot of mother-daughter conflicts. I'm sure the writers thought that was really funny, and that would be, you know, and that would, you know, crack up the readers or whatever, but it might have mattered if anyone cared about who Mary was. If it was Maria Hill, it might have struck a funnier chord, but we're just meeting Mary the first time 2 issues ago, and she's not that prominent of a character, so I'm not entirely sure a subplot of Mary and Basalt in their mother-daughter turmoil strikes as funny as a chord as was intended.
No, it actually worked a little for me, because like I said, 3 issues, and I'm like, what's the deal with the joke about her name? Who cares? And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, that's why they set it up that way. Now, they tried a little too hard, but I actually enjoyed that part of it, where the generational mother-daughter standard conflict playing out with, sci-fi lasers and, you know, teleport accident mutated ducks and things like that. So it worked for me.
Fair enough. You know, that's good. All right, so they do that for a little while, and Basalt says, call your dogs off, baby girl. This is Roxxon business. She says, ma'am, your orders? You don't have the stomach for this. She's thinking to herself. You don't have the stomach for this. Ma'am, we need a decision. Great, put the switchboard operator in charge. And she's like, that's it, I have had enough. Shut up, all of you. And just starts opening fire. And we get a big old shootout.
And then some of that violence that we're fond of.
Mm-hmm.
That one didn't bother me, where Howard literally blows the hole through the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Howard's like, oh. You know, he's a little horrified at what happened. And, if there's going to be violence, okay, make it ugly. Make some consequences. I'm sure the point of view shot through the Roxxon guard was supposed to be funny, but, Howard looked horrified, and I'm like, okay, I can deal with that. There's, you know, Howard wasn't trying to kill the guy. And then Basalt gets a mysterious phone call.
Yep. And then, of course, they shattered the tube that Rocket was in. So he says, I have no idea what's going on. Which I thought was going to be the end of the issue, but it goes a little bit further.
There's a lot of random violence. It's really Rocket's cup of tea. I mean, that's where he would want to be, in the middle mm-hmm. of a firefight.
Absolutely.
Deadpool likes him.
Yep. So S.H.I.E.L.D. captures the Roxxon troopers, and there's a conversation they have here at the end about how if they tried to tell Deadpool about the Roxxon stuff, but he didn't pay attention to the mission briefing. Okay, and so this is where we get to the nanobots. We need the nanobots to reverse the process of separating Howard and Deadpool, right?
Right, and because the are you going to get into the acronym, what rabies really means?
Go ahead.
Robotic antibody bacterial infection engines. So it's more than just, I mean, at first I thought, oh, space rabies, okay. I just thought it was going to be a one-off joke just to get the plot going. And then from there, stuff gets even less random, which was my main thing in the beginning, was like, I don't understand why all this random stuff's happening. But it's not random.
It's not. And I'm gonna let you talk about this, because this is your expertise here. The phone call that Basalt got, who was it? And we find out now, and he makes his introduction thusly. Let me tell you about jobs, woman. I have had many. Journalist, stage musician, amateur biologist, brand management consultant. In each and every one of these vocations, I have experienced both abject humiliation and physical disfigurement. Yet in the end, all those fears have led me here, to the precipice of my greatest triumph. Soon the diminutive Anatidae called Howard the Duck and the world will truly know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for Dr. Bong. Bong.
Yes, sir.
All right. Give us a little preview of your super blog team up. Who the hell is Dr. Bong?
Dr. Bong is probably the closest thing to an arch nemesis Howard the Duck has. And just in that little three-panel intro sums up 90% of what you need to know about Dr. Bong. First of all, it all goes back to Leah Thompson. Actually, Beverly Switzer, which is Leah Thompson's character. Dr. Bong... not good with the ladies, had a massive crush on Bev in college. She rejected his advances because he's really smooth. and so he tried to impress her by becoming a journalist, where he basically used words as weapons. Anybody that got in his way, he ruined their life. Always with facts, never guilty of libel, but he twisted them. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere along the way, he decided that didn't pay off. Got his hand cut off by a guillotine while dressed as the Easter Bunny in a rock show, as happens. And then he built an island and replaced his severed hand with a clapper and has that bell-shaped helmet, which is not just for decoration. He can strike it to trigger powerful sonic blasts that do all sorts of things. Anyway, his original raison d'etre was to force Bev to marry him. But somewhere along the way, besides journalism, he mastered genetic engineering. So this stuff mucking with Rocket and Deadpool and Howard the Duck is right up his alley. And I really liked the... part of it helped because when I decided to write about Dr. Bong, I went through and I've read most of his comic appearances, which is not that hard to do, because there aren't that many of them. But probably half of them... are people who are like, hey, Dr. Bong, that guy sounds funny, or that guy looks funny, and it's just, hey, here's this weirdo in the background. He's in a supervillain support group, or he's in a cosmic roller derby fight with Dazzler and the Daughters of the Dragon. True story. But this, again, like I said, Stuart Moore, you know, he showed he knows who Howard is. You know, he knows who Dr. Bong is. And Dr. Bong's also other most prominent appearance, besides fighting Howard the Duck, was as Deadpool's psychologist. He went back to school and got his PhD in psychology, and Deadpool was his first patient, which is biting off a bit more than you can chew. So, I mean, if there was ever a common denominator for Howard the Duck and Deadpool, this is the guy. So not only did they bring back Dr. Bong, but they brought him back with, you know, pretty much every element that really defined the character.
So I have another question for you. When you wrote your blog for the Super Blog team up, focusing on the infamous Dr. Bong, did you use Grammarly?
I knew I forgot something.
Well, if you had used Grammarly, it would have helped you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web, Evan Bevins. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. Evan, how long would it take you to do your blog on Dr. Bong for the Superblog team-up?
Let's see. Couple hours for the writing. Hours more for trying to get all the pictures to fit.
If you had used Grammarly, you might have cut that down that time in half, and you could have spent that time watching Howard the Duck with your daughters.
Still think they're a little young for frontal duck nudity. But your point is well taken.
If you ever have the opportunity to see the pitch meeting from Screen Rant on YouTube of Howard the Duck, they spend a lot of time discussing the necessity or lack of necessity for duck boobs. He's like, we're going to spend a lot of time on this. And this movie is for adults? No, it's for children. Okay. Anyway, to download Grammarly today, where you can go on the web and complain about duck boobs or praise them if you like. Who's to say how people really do feel about duck boobs in 2021, Evan? You know what I mean?
That's true. It could be a lucrative field for which someone could feather their nest.
Go to getgrammarly.com/W2M network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M network to download Grammarly for free. Every day that I do these, I hope that the people from Grammarly listen to my ad reads and contact Sean Garmer and are like, what the fuck, dude? Why is he associating our product with duck boobs? Like, well, that's just Mark.
He won't be surprised.
No. Alrighty. So we open up issue number 5 with Dr. Bong, and he's talking about creating an army of savage beasts that will obey him, and he kind of reminds me of the Brain from Pinky and the Brain when he tried to create an army of zombie vegetables. But this whole thing started with him experimenting on Rocket, and now that he sees what has become of Deadpool and Howard, he is like, that's my next idea. And you kind of already answered this question, but he gets like sidetracked by proposing to Basalt. But I guess that's a common thing with him, is him trying to get women to marry him.
Well, yeah, but except here, it actually shows that Dr. Bong has evolved since his first appearance, because originally it was all about forcing Bev to marry him. He threatened Howard. He threatened other people. And here, he's asking. He's hearing her. And he is accepting rejection, somewhat dejectedly. But, kudos for Dr. Bong for growing as a person.
You know, that's better than some villains in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. I mean, and, still here, he's desperate, he's lonely, he's awkward. They're still, being true to the character, yeah, but they moved him forward a little bit.
I like that. All right, so...
I mean, it's not like she was unconscious due to a witch's spell and he just kissed her out of nowhere. I guess that doesn't work if you weren't talking about that earlier in the week, but Google it, folks.
Yeah, there are... Some good people who write for SF Gate who had an issue with how the new Snow White ride ends at the end in Disneyland in California. So have fun with that. Anyway, the Babylon Bee parody of that Disney amends ride. Snow White will remain dead. That cracked me up. Anyway.
I get it. Times change, but sometimes it goes a little too far. But I said this jokingly, but I mean, it is kind of neat when you think about it, and the climate of what bothers people, that here he stayed true to Dr. Bong, but he did change a little bit.
Yep.
And it's still funny, and Dr. Bong is still pathetic.
All right, so we switch back to Howard, and he Deadpool the Duck. And he's trying to figure out how to get the nanobots back, and they realize the nanobots are in the vomit. And this is why I'm kind
another
of okay.
Another payoff.
Yeah, there's actually some sharp writing here. Like, they did something that you thought was just a gross gag in the beginning, and it actually plays into the plot. I'm like, all right, I get it. And so they got to get, so he's got to consume back the vomit, which is, of course, really gross, in order to get the nanobots inside of him in order for all of this to work. And
you got a spoon on you?
And Deadpool is, sorry, Howard is, like, yelling at Deadpool to do it. And finally, Deadpool's like, you know, like, hey, you wanted control. And this goes back and forth. And finally, you know, again, showing growth in the character and an arc here, they decide they're going to work together to consume the vomit. A phrase I never thought I would say.
And worse yet, we both agree, is justified by the story, however unfortunately.
Yep. And so we get
every time I look at that, I'm looking at one of the pages now, and I'm like, why? Because that's what had to happen.
Yep. So, turns out the vomit's not so bad.
Off to Deadpool.
Yeah. And so they eat it, and then they zap him with the gun. And then Dr. Bong shows up. And this is the funniest thing I have read in God knows how long. Deadpool says, you can't end a 5-issue miniseries with the hero eating his own puke. It's not just revolting, it's anticlimactic. And boom, or I should say, bong. Dr. Bong, looking like a Luke Skywalker pose, shows up. A most astute observation. And Evan Bevins, no one knows disappointing climaxes like Dr. Bong.
I don't know whether to elaborate on that or not.
You got something to a lot, please. You know, we had a nice sharing session with Truth, Red, White, and Black last night. I mean, you know, this is the safe space to share.
I've got to go back and listen to that one. I just wonder, you know, are they just going, you know, for the obvious joke, or is there a layer here that maybe Dr. Bong doesn't realize what he's saying? Because I don't want to get into too much, but there's evidence from the text in previous appearances that Dr. Bong may not really know about what he's talking about there.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. For more on this, check out Evan Bevin's Superblog team-up entry that will be released tomorrow on his blog. What's your blog again? Quick plug?
Asterisk51.blogspot.com.
All right, perfect. It'll be all over Twitter and Facebook tomorrow, along with all the Superblog team-up entries. I'm going to go ahead and... Look, I know nothing about Dr. Bong. I'll read your blog tomorrow, and I'll find out all the things, but... When I saw the line, and no one knows disappointing climaxes like Dr. Bong, I'm like, that has to be a sex joke. It just has to.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure it was written that way. Well, I mean, no need to beat around the bush. This actually isn't in my blog, but there's a part in the old Howard the Duck stories that suggest that Beverly is accepting of their marriage, and maybe there's some romance blooming, and, you know, it goes off panel. Unlike, you know, half of comics today. But then later, it is told that it didn't get much farther than that because he liked to recite poetry about bells and she fell asleep.
Nice. I have a story.
What I'm saying is Dr. Bong may not actually, you know, the writer may have meant it one way, Dr. Bong may not have meant it that way.
My friend tells a story of they are no longer together. In fact, she broke up with him and she went on to marry one of my other friends and have a child. But back when my old podcasting partner and I, back when he was dating this girl, in an attempt to woo her and romance her, he brought her home and he was playing music. And I don't know why this came up, whether this was intentional and he just didn't think it would... end the way that it did or what, but in this mix of music that he's playing in order to romance her and woo her, raindrops falling on my head starts. And she starts laughing hysterically, and he lost her for the night.
Yeah, I learned in college that girls don't think it's funny to suggest Happy to Be Stuck With You should be your song.
I had a girlfriend back when I was in high school say, I found the perfect song for me and you. And I'm like, okay, great. What is it? She's like, I think I love you. And I'm like, ugh. Okay. We're not going to last very long. And we didn't. All right.
What were you so afraid of, Mark?
All right. So Mary says, okay, deep breath. Unfamiliar supervillain, barely familiar mother. Stand aside, leather-clad woman. I have no quarrel with S.H.I.E.L.D. My only concern is the hybrid. And Basalt's like, yeah, he means the duck. And this goes on and on. And because Dr. Bong showed up, they stopped the separation. And Howard says, and ring this bell. And he starts assaulting Dr. Bong. And so they fight.
And striking Dr. Bong's bell with a metal object is how he defeated him back in Howard the Duck number 20.
So he hits him in the head, and then we flash to the negative zone, and Howard says to Deadpool, how'd you do that? Bong's power disrupts the synapses. You mean the nerves in my head? Those died a long time ago. And we flash back to Mary and her mom shooting at each other, and they are going back and forth, the typical mother-daughter stuff. And then Dr. Bomb goes after Deadpool the duck, but then he catches the eye, because she shot at him, of Mary, and he proposes to her, too. And I'm like, okay, I gotta ask Evan about this. Is he the kind of character who just proposes to every vagina he sees?
Well, I think he is now. Like I said, he was pretty well set on Bev for most of those early appearances, and then something in the one major appearance I didn't read in the Howard the Duck Max series where he gets turned into a giant rat. Something happened that made him swear off Bev for good, and then most of the time when he showed up, he was either Deadpool's psychologist. Although he does make reference to another woman in an issue of Deadpool, but that could just as easily be him trying to impress Deadpool and his pilot by making them think he has a girlfriend. So, like I said, he's you know, deeply lonely and insecure. Although early on he just masked that insecurity by ordering everybody around. But so it's not something that he's done before, but it seemed in character to me.
All right, so they go back to trying to separate, and while he's trying to woo and propose to Mary, Basalt sees this, and he's like, really, my freaking daughter? And she punches him in the head. and she beats him about the head until he disappears 100 miles away. And Rocket jumps into the fray. And finally, Deadpool and Howard are separated and covered in vomit.
Had to be done.
Yep. Basalt takes off. And this whole thing is resolved thusly. Deadpool and Mary join up as a team. They go on missions together. And because Howard has nothing else and nowhere to go, he takes a job with S.H.I.E.L.D. as formerly her job as the receptionist.
And see, I would read... I would read Howard the Duck, Receptionist of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the hands of the right writer.
And so we get a bit of a dream sequence, just one panel of, you know, Howard getting all of these different mundane tasks to do and him freaking out and shooting all the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys. And he gets a hold of himself and he's like, Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement Logistics Division, how may I direct your call?
And really, memorizing the acronym, that's half the battle of working at S.H.I.E.L.D.
And that's it. That's our tale of Deadpool the Duck. I'll give my thoughts, and I'll let you have the last word, and we'll get out of here. Look, was it better than the death of Hawkman? Sure. it's better than Godzilla in Hell, which seemed to be the low water mark for the show. But, you know, was it the most Teddy reading I've done? Did it give us a lot of things to talk about in terms of the nature of man and race relations and social policy? No, it was a silly tale, But that's the thing, you know. And I mentioned this in the chat when I put up the picture of Dr. Bond going, you know, if anyone knows disappointing climaxes, it's Dr. Bong. I was like, I need some truth, red, white, and black in my life, but I also need some Deadpool to talk. I need both.
Yes.
And I was very happy to talk about this. It's a fine read. It's funny. It's better than some of the other silly things I've read. Not as funny as some of the other silly things I've read. It's kind of squarely in the middle. It's unobtrusive. It's not invasive. It's not insulting. It's if you're like a Ronnie Adams kind of a guy, and you're not looking to think too deeply about any of this stuff, and you're just looking for a happy-go-fun time, Deadpool the Duck is a perfectly adequate, serviceable, happy-go-fun time book. And I was happy to talk about it with Dr. Bong expert Evan Bevins. Your final thoughts, sir.
Like I alluded to before, there were things in the first three issues that, I mean, made me laugh and here and there, but there were things that didn't sit well with me. Like, and I know we're dealing with a story where a mercenary who knows he's in a comic book merges bodies with an anthropomorphic duck and a space raccoon, but I'm like, he's driving through nowhere and Rocket just shows up, and then Deadpool. But then, you know, just by having Dr. Bong pulling the strings, it makes sense that it would be these two, and that Rocket, you know, that Rocket would be sent there. You know, the roughly 65 pages of vomit jokes before issue 5. I was like, okay, I get it, but it seems to be going a little overboard. No, it's a story point. And even Mary, wait, what's her last name? Oh, we don't know. And not even me wondering, just going, why do they keep talking about this? And, oh, okay, there's a reason we hid that too. So, you know, is it Watchmen? Not quite. But, but I mean it's fun, and it tied everything together. I mean, every complaint, I'm putting it in air quotes, you can't tell, but I am, that I had was answered, and it turned into a fun read. And like I said, not that Dr. Bong is a character with a proud history, you know, of epic comic stories, although the original stuff is pretty darn good. But, you know, just after reading all that and thinking about Dr. Bong and writing this blog that'll be out tomorrow, it was cool to see that you know, they didn't just pick him as a funny looking punchline or a guy to stick in the background. They're like, okay, here's everything that's happened with Dr. Bong. Here's how we're gonna do this story. It, you know, it made more sense than him becoming Deadpool's psychologist, but that was pretty darn funny too. So you know, I thought it was well done. It was a good time. I'm glad I read it kind of all in a row. I'm not sure I would have been as into it monthly. I mean, I'm a big believer in single issues of comics, but I would have read it eventually because it was Howard the Duck, but I'm not 100% sure that I'm getting a phone call right now. And also, there we go. I'm not sure I would have kept up with it monthly, or if I would have been like a, you know, Marvel Unlimited, like I read it, or you know, grabbing it out of a bargain bin, or something like that, because it definitely picked up steam as it went along. But I'm glad I read it. I had fun with it. I didn't mind reading it again. Just a couple weeks later, when you found an opening on your schedule faster than I've ever seen, and managed to find an opening in my schedule too, I should point out.
Yes, well, a birdie told me that when someone asked to do something, you shouldn't say, "Okay, we'll get to it in a year." So I'm trying to not do that.
No, I appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah, man. All right, we'll do this again soon. I know you're going to be back for some of the other more standard stuff that I picked out. I know we talked about Black Widow and some other things. So, you know, the door is always open, and if there's ever anything, you're like, if there's a person on Earth who we have to talk about this book with, it's Mark Rattledge. Just, you know, hit me up, and we'll find a spot with our various ships in the night schedule. I want to say before we go that the original entire motion picture score for Howard the Duck is not available, but there are some select tracks that you can get on AmazonMusic.com, like You're the Duckiest from Howard the Duck. So if you want to hear, I think there's two that I found on here. There's You're the Duckiest, and then there's Howard's Lullaby or Lullaby Duck or something like that. You can find both of those on AmazonMusic.com. And if you're like, okay, but I don't want to pay for it, that's fine. You can click our link at getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. That's getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. You can get a free 30 days of Amazon Music and stream all the Howard the Duck music you want. And if you're not content with just Howard the Duck, you can stream whatever else you're listening to. What are you listening to? When you're sitting there and you're like, I have to write this magnum opus on Dr. Bong, and you need music to write by, what do you listen to, Evan?
The soundtrack from Avengers Endgame.
That's probably on AmazonMusic.com as well. God knows every other soundtrack is. So if you want to stream, if you get a free 30 days of Amazon Music on us here at W2M and the Rattle Engine Broadcasting Network by clicking the link in the description, AmazonMusic.com/W2M Network. And with that, that is the end of our show. This was fun. We had some fun times here with some silly light fare. But if you're looking for a more heady discussion, last night myself, Ben Colon, who had some shit to say, and Alexis Haina, who had other shit to say, and she and I had a conversation about how maybe she should say shit differently, had a very long and very heady conversation about Truth, Red, White, and Black, which was the partial inspiration for the Isaiah Bradley character in Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. So that's in the archives. People can check that out. Myself, Chris Bailey, and Pat Mullen did our deep dive into WrestleMania 2, so you can check that out. It's the Mania of WrestleMania 2 in the archives. Tonight, myself and Robert Winfrey will be reviewing Wrath of Man on Damn You Hollywood. For those of you that love Guy Ritchie and Jason Statham, it's a great movie. Tomorrow is the Super Blog team-up. The aforementioned Evan Bevins will be writing on Dr. Bong, as we've discussed all podcast. The Rattleton Broadcasting Network has two entries, one for The Long Road to Ruin. We're looking at the two Eddie Murphy Dr. Doolittle movies from 1998 and 2001. And on The Metal Hammer of Doom, Jesse and I had a gas of a time talking about Motley Crue's platinum-selling Dr. Feelgood. In the evening time, Jesse Starcher and I, and possibly Sean Comer, will be reviewing the new Weezer album, Van Weezer. And then finally on Thursday, the gang and I are getting together to talk Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We'll all say we love it, and Robert Winfrey will call us all morons, because that's how that's going to go. On Friday, myself, Robert Winfrey, will be reviewing from Netflix, The Woman in the Window. We have a new friend of the show, Jeff Sloboda, who has his own podcast, and we kind of met through podcasting groups, and he said, hey, we should get together and do some stuff. And I said, great. Here's a movie nobody will review with me, Stowaway, starring Anna Kendrick, which is a science fiction movie on Netflix. And he was like, great, I'll do
that.
Is that
the one with the volleyball?
Different one. Different movie.
No, see, that was a callback to earlier.
Yeah, that stars alleged sex pervert Tom Hanks. Hi, Pat. he and I will be reviewing Stowaway. We'll also be re-airing our Long Road to Ruin for Saw Parts 1 and 2, because debuting in theaters that day will be Spiral on May 14th. And then finally on Saturday, Jesse will have a syndicated source material for What If the Alien Costume Had Possessed Spider-Man.
Ooh, first issue of What If I ever read.
Yes, sir. Check out all of our Scott Pilgrim stuff from last week. We did two of the books. We did the movie. We did the soundtrack to the video game. That's all there. We did my kids and I did a watch-along to the PS5 playthrough. We also re-aired our review of Rogue One, Brujeria, Viva Presidente Trump, and Jesse and I reviewed Pennyworth. Chris Bailey and I reviewed AEW Blood and Guts, and Alexis and I reviewed The Mitchells vs. the Machines, plus we re-aired our review of Days of Future Past, The Twilight Saga, and Jessica Jones Season 1. So we're not long for content on here on the Rattlington Broadcasting Network. There's at least one or two shows going up every single day. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. Evan Bevins, take me home, baby doll.
Well, I think we mentioned once or twice, I've got a blog about Dr. Bong that you can read tomorrow at asterisk51.blogspot.com. I am still trying to get into regular posting on that. The last one I did was I excitedly explained how a minor detail in Falcon and Winter Soldier proved that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was MCU canon, only to realize, A, it didn't because the element was present in other Marvel movies, not just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then a week later, Disney kicked the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.-related shows out of the MCU section of Disney+. But I maintain that history will prove me right.
So is Disney saying that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not MCU canon?
They haven't really said anything, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, is not available on Disney Plus in America, but in countries where it is available, they've put it in, like, Marvel Legacy instead of the MCU. But part of that may be, like, I just looked something up, and then my phone keeps feeding me similar articles. Like, you know how Dave Bautista did an interview a couple days ago where he said he probably wouldn't be playing Drax anymore?
Mm-hmm.
My phone has fed me roughly 7 million different articles based on him saying that and James Gunn saying, oh, no, I think you're the only Drax. And I'm like, look, Drax is my favorite character in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I can't possibly care any less about this story right now. But asterisk51.blogspot.com. I'll be trying to get some more regular stuff on there. I'll try to do something non-Marvel related. I really do read comics that aren't from Marvel, and maybe get some of my childhood comic art and movie posters on there, and maybe rewatch some movies that I've loved for a long time but haven't watched in 20 years, and we'll just go from there.
All right, for Evan Bevins, I'm Mark Rattles. This has been Source Material Live. Be well, be safe, and behave.